Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Solving the world's problems in 10 minutes or less. Here we go. And Jason, we will begin with you. It has been 2 weeks now since that scathing AG report on COVID nursing home deaths in New York. Where do things stand with this story today?
Well, the Cuomo administration has little by little been leaking out the numbers, which is beginning to give us a bigger picture of what actually happened in the nursing homes. It appears that the deaths are now over 15,000 of those nursing home deaths related to COVID-19. And with that number, now we know why the Cuomo administration did not want that number to drop all at one time. So that's something the legislature is starting to take action on. Bills are beginning to move. Scrutiny is beginning to happen. And frankly, Governor Andrew Cuomo and his health commissioner are on the hot seat.
Yeah, realistically, is the Biden Justice Department going to look into this?
No, I don't believe that the Justice Department is going to look into this. I think that there's enough of a friendship and a kinship there between the current White House and the Cuomo administration. That's not going to happen. But the public of court opinion is still out there, and frankly, people are very concerned.
All right. Well, let's head to Harrisburg by way of Washington, D.C., Michael, and the ongoing impeachment trial of former President Trump. Your state figuring prominently in this proceeding. The lead attorney for the president hails from Montgomery County, Mr. Bruce Castor, and also your senior U.S. Senator, Pat Toomey. He is one of just a handful of Republicans who voted on the constitutionality of this trial. Many say if he votes to convict, that may hand John Fetterman a win in that Senate seat. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, number one, Pat Toomey has said he's not going to run again. So he's, in some measure, although he has 2 years left in his term, a lame duck. And so he isn't tethered to sort of what he thinks public opinion is related to that issue. And I don't know that his vote either way makes much of a difference in what happens in that Senate election. I will point out that Senator Casey, the Democrat incumbent here in Pennsylvania, U.S. Senator, has said related to his impeachment vote that no one is above the law. And that reminded me when I saw that quote from Casey about John Fetterman, who thinks he is above the law in hanging those flags, the rainbow flag and the marijuana flag, on the balcony of his office at the state capitol. That is clearly against the law signed by Governor Wolf, and yet Fetterman says he's not going to obey that law, and he's going to keep putting those flags there, even as state workers take them down.
All right. We'll see how that contest plays out in the months to come. Big news in New York this week. The governor, of course, opening up sports stadiums, large-scale sporting events for fans. No more cardboard cutouts. But when it comes to churches in New York, there's been some litigation on that front. Jason, explain what happened this week.
Yeah, Bob, there was a court ruling this week in which a federal district judge actually ruled against Governor Cuomo's restrictions in regard to the percentages. Some places in New York State had the 25 and 33% percentage still in their cluster zones. Those are no more. The orange and red houses of worship restrictions are gone. But our analysis of this is that churches are still at 50% capacity across the state. So there are still restrictions, but the most restrictive of them are no longer here.
All right. We saw the U.S. Supreme Court weighed in on this earlier as well. The May primary ballot, before you know it, Michael, it will be here. Hard to believe with all that snow still on the ground. But on the ballot this year, there's going to be two constitutional amendments that sort of rein in Governor Wolf's pandemic powers. Do you think they will be successful?
Well, one of the ballot measures will limit the governor's emergency declaration to 21 days unless the legislature passes a resolution to extend it. The other one would allow the legislature to pass a resolution without the governor's signature to extend or terminate an emergency declaration by the governor. And that is all, again, to rein in the governor's power, which he's been wielding it without any limitations since March of last year when he imposed the COVID restrictions. I think it's likely to pass. I think, number one, there's just an appetite for limiting the governor in the state. And number two, just the track record of since 1995, there have been 10 amendments going on the ballot, and all 10 have passed. Last time one did not pass in Pennsylvania was 1981.
Wow. I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, Jason, but just for the life of me, when it comes to the vaccine supply-demand issue, why doesn't New York just set up a glorified sign-up sheet, a pre-registration process where folks get in line, get the shot? Why does the governor continually make more people eligible when there's a supply shortage to begin with?
Bob. You clearly make too much common sense to serve in government.
I just don't know.
You know, what we see happening is the federal government is loosening the restrictions, the regulations regarding who is eligible. And so the state, trying to align itself with what is happening at the federal government because it doesn't want to fall behind, is essentially opening it up to more and more people. But we don't yet have enough vaccine supply to meet the initial regulations that are out there. And so it is becoming problematic, very confusing for people. There was an entrepreneur who created a new website that would help schedule these things for the cost of $50. And that is what private enterprise can do as opposed to what public government has been able to accomplish in this regard.
Oh, well, hey, I'm glad I'm not the only one that wondered that. Michael, the governor also making headlines this week with his pitch for a minimum wage increase. Not sure what the Pennsylvania Family Institute position on this is, but he continually talks about, you know, it's hard for families to make it on a minimum wage these days. I wonder, was the minimum wage even created to support families? I always thought it was something, you know, a college kid did to put gas in his car so he could go out on a Friday night. Talk to that if you would.
No, I think you're right. And the minimum wage, when people think about the jobs that teens and young people take, oftentimes are not designed to sustain a family at all, but to help, you know, a corner grocer or deli owner or something like that have some relief for themselves so that they can have some opportunity to give jobs to other people. When you think the impact of the minimum wage and low-wage jobs being taken away when the minimum wage is raised can be seen at grocery stores. When you go and see those self-serve kiosks and the scan it yourself, those are jobs that used to be held by teenagers. And if you increase the minimum wage, those jobs and opportunities go away even further.
Yeah, and you also run the risk of the very people you're trying to help, you're hurting because the employers are just going to lay those jobs off anyway if they go at the rate that the governor wants to. Adult use marijuana is a huge topic in New York State. We've seen some sheriffs come out this week saying, hold on a minute here. Is it running into some turbulence, Jason? What's the latest here on this effort to push pot in New York?
Yeah, this seems to be the story every year in recent years, is the narrative begins the legislative session or the calendar year by talking about how pot is going to pass, it's inevitable, there's no way to stop it. And then as you begin to get into the weeds, there are things that trip it up, and it always goes back to money. Right now, there are two competing proposals, the governor's and the legislative proposals. The governor's proposal basically wants to keep the revenue to use it as he sees fit. The legislative proposal wants to return the funds that come from the marijuana sales, the taxation, back to the urban communities to spend as they see fit. That's one of the chief differences. The other is whether or not we're going to allow current drug dealers to actually get into this program and continue as future drug dealers. And so there's two major hurdles that the legislature and the governor administration is going to have to overcome if we're going to see recreational weed in this state. Certainly, we hope not. We're working to block it every chance we have.
Yeah, and our last stop this week, Philadelphia, the state's largest school district, was supposed to reopen this week, but the powerful teachers unions had other ideas. Michael, why such a resistance from the powerful teachers unions to get kids back into the classroom?
Well, it follows just what Jason just said, which is it all comes down to money. The teachers unions, whether in Philadelphia, Chicago, or elsewhere, see this as an opportunity to squeeze the government and the taxpayer for more money. And that's what they're basically saying. Even though billions of dollars that were already allocated from last year's COVID relief for education has not even been spent. They see this as an opportunity to extort, I would use that term, from taxpayers more money. This despite 14 nonprofit organizations in Philadelphia that work and deal with children saying the schools should open. They see children are languishing or hurting, families are hurting, and yet the teachers union is blocking this relief for families.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week, but if you want more information about the great work going on at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, Jason, where can folks check you out?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Stay informed on the issues as well in Pennsylvania. Michael Gear, what's your site, sir?
PAFamily.org.